What's up, y'all? Will here at Schedule Fly. This episode is sponsored by Schedule Fly. If you don't love the way that you schedule and communicate with your staff at your restaurant or your bar or your ice cream store or coffee shop or distillery or winery or brewery or boutique hotel, we would love the chance to earn your business. And you can try us for free with no commitment, no obligation, no credit card, nothing up front. Go to schedulefly.com. Click free trial. You get 30 days. You can try it out. My personal cell phone number is right there on the trial sign-up page. So if you got any questions, call me, text me. I'll get back to you. We have 6,000 restaurants, about 250,000 end users. And the reason I'm willing to put my cell phone number on there is because our software is so simple that we have so little support demand that it's very easy for us to be very responsive when we need to be. So we've been building this business for 15 years through word of mouth. We have, like I said, 6,000 customers, and we'd love to have, you know, if you're on pencil and paper, you're on Excel, you're on a scheduling platform that you're paying a lot of money for, that has a lot of bells and whistles that you don't need, or it's complicated, or it's hard to use, give us a shot. We've built this business on simple, super easy to use software and legendary customer support. And, we'd love for you to try it for 30 days and give us a chance to earn your business. You'll be very happy if you do. The other sponsor of this episode is Flip, F-L-Y-P, Flip Mobile Banking. So if you go to flipmoney.com, and again, that's F-L-Y-P, or find them in the App Store, this is a cool business. We know the folks that started this. They're great folks, and it's got a great product, and people that have been using it that have used our promo code have been very happy. You have a mobile banking account, checking account. You have a debit card, your Flip card. And every time you use that Flip card, you go to your app on your phone and you spin the Flip wheel. And you can win up to 110% cash back. If you don't win cash, you can win some Flip coins. Flip coins can be used, they'll go into a drawing and you can win prizes. So you can use this thing at 37,000 ATMs. There's no fees. There's no minimum account fee. None of these things that banks typically charge. So if you don't love your bank, if you're not like, man, my bank is awesome and cool and cares about me, check out Flip. Great product, great support. Very similar to our ethos here at Schedule Fly. Happy to tell you about them and hope you'll give it a shot. If you do sign up, an additional benefit is if you use the promo code SCHEDULEFLY, then once you've funded the account and spent $100, they'll give you $20. Just no questions asked. $20 will go right into your account. So flipmoney.com, promo code SCHEDULEFLY, check them out. Last thing I'll say, pause this right now if you don't mind. Give us a rating on your whatever podcast you're using, whatever podcast player. Give us a rating. Ratings mean so much, particularly if you add comments in there. That's how these algorithms spread this podcast to more people. The more people that are listening, the more people are going to get value and learn from other restaurant people, and everybody wins. So pause it, give us a rating, unpause, go on, and enjoy this episode. Thanks for listening. Bye. All right, let's see here. So we are live. Ted, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Ted Dwyer with Linwood Brewing.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, thank you, yes.
Linwood Brewing, well, you got multiple businesses.
Yeah, all started under one umbrella. Linwood Grill started 18 years ago.
Okay.
And we like beer, so we decided to branch out and try a little side project of brewing beer, and that grew into a bigger than a side project.
Yeah, pretty massive operation here. How did it all get started? How did you get into hospitality initially?
Oh, funny story. Delivering pizzas in college.
Okay. And then, here?
No, at Virginia.
Okay.
Dropped out of college my second year and went into management with the Domino's Pizza franchisee there and worked for him for 5 years, where we grew from 3 stores to 18 stores and then franchised myself. Got out of that after a few years and said I wasn't going to ever have another business with a lot of employees. And then fast forward however many years later, I wasn't enjoying the corporate world and decided to take the dive again and bought a little restaurant with about 80 seats, and we grew that into 170 seats, and then we built a new building and grew it into 350 seats, and then added the brewery, and then built another brewery, and then added another restaurant, and then here we are today.
How many employees do you have now?
About 150, typically.
Yeah, you weren't going to get into the having employees.
Right, right.
Well, okay, so where in Virginia was this?
UVA, Charlottesville.
Oh, you were, okay. Did you go to, you went to UVA?
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is some pretty country up there.
It is.
I love it in Charlottesville and that whole surrounding area. How did you wind up down here?
Well, my wife graduated from NC State and then moved up to Charlottesville. Went just for a change of pace because she grew up in Chapel Hill, and just been in the Triangle her whole life. She moved up there and then we met working together, and then she decided to come back here to go back to nursing school, and then I ended up following her with a job getting out of the restaurant business. That was when I was working in the corporate world, and moved down here for that job, and we got married, and the rest is history, as they say.
How long did the other job last?
I did that for 6 years.
Oh, really? Okay.
And I often wonder if I'd still be doing it if, you know, the company was bought by an investment bank and I was laid off looking for work.
Yeah.
And eventually I said, yeah, if I'm going to work this hard, I might as well do it for myself.
Do it for yourself.
And found the opportunity, or created the opportunity, however you want to look at it.
What was here?
This building?
I mean, in this whole area. I mean, this is a vibrant, booming area now. But back then, I mean, I don't know as much about Raleigh, but I would imagine it was not as much going on.
Well, we just discovered this area, this building, 7 years ago.
Okay.
In 2015.
This
old warehouse was getting redeveloped, and originally a dentist opened a brewery here called Blackjack Brewing.
A dentist opened a brewery here.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he quickly decided, his wife had twins, and he quickly decided he needed to go back to dentistry to make real money and get out of the brewery business. And he knew that we were looking to expand to open a production facility. So he contacted me, and we worked out an agreement, and I took over here, and it's been a fun ride.
Yeah.
But this building is interesting. You're sitting, it was a AMP and then Winn-Dixie Southeastern Distribution Center. So you're sitting where the train would back into the building, unload groceries that would then go out on the other side of the building into tractor trailers all over the U.S.
This was an AMP in Winn-Dixie, and I remember AMP growing up.
It was their warehouse,
yeah.
And you can still see some paint on the floor where, you know, 1196 might have been canned peas and different sections where they would distribute all the groceries, or, you know, warehouse the groceries until they went out. But interestingly enough, back behind us where the brew house sits was the banana room. We had been here for a couple of years before I saw the 1950 blueprints and learned that fact. And it's kind of funny because the brewers typically call new brewers brew monkeys. And they happen to be working in the banana room. So pretty fitting.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. Well, okay. So when you first got started, I mean, was this bootstrapped and just...
Oh, very much so. Yeah. I cashed in my 401k, all those money managers say never to do that.
Right, right. You bet on yourself.
But I did. And yeah. My wife agreed somehow to put a second mortgage on the house, not actually loaning the money, just guaranteeing the money for a small business loan.
Okay.
And then when it came time to buy the inventory, I had underprojected and ran out of money, so I had to write a 0% interest credit card check for the inventory.
The gentleman
I was buying from had too much inventory, and we had already negotiated the price down, so I didn't feel like I could negotiate him out of that inventory that he had excess of. I just wrote a check.
So your wife's in nursing school. She's a nurse at this point.
Okay. Yeah, she stepped back from that when the boys were born. We have 14-year-old twins. And she went back a little bit part-time, but now she's decided not to keep doing that.
14-year-old. Oh, is that how... Are they friends with Sanders?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. Bobby's son. Okay. All right. See, I love this kind of stuff, man. I got chills. Like, I think it's so awesome when somebody takes that kind of risk on themselves. I mean, there's also people that do it and it doesn't work out, and it's a tough story. But, you know, congrats on making it work. So you're taking all this personal risk that any financial advisor would be like, dude, what are you thinking? Like,
right,
you're taking
right.
a second mortgage out. You're cashing your 401k. Now you're writing a check on – well, you have probably had like 12 months before the interest kicked in at like 29% or something like that.
Yep.
That is so awesome, man.
It was pretty funny. Failure wasn't an option. And
do you think that because failure, like, do you, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I find this stuff really fascinating. Like, because you really, like, you had to make it work, do you feel like that it's almost like necessity is the mother of all invention kind of thing, where you just... you had to figure stuff out? Like, you just...
Some of it, yes. Some of it was, you know, I had managed a similar restaurant previously.
Yeah.
And kind of had a blueprint, if you will,
okay.
of what I wanted to do, which was expand the existing restaurant that I bought from 2,000 square feet with 80 seats on up to... So when I first bought it... I kind of had a blueprint, and I felt like it was a great area, and they had a good product already, and it matched up with my previous experience, so I felt confident that I could turn it around. They had lost, I think, $60,000 in the 1 year they operated, and, you know, started out doing really low numbers of sales, and it just was a matter of working, being there every day, every night,
and
making it work, but... some of it too is in the right place at the right time. You know, we're in a fantastic area with amazing growth, that a ton of apartments, ton of townhomes, and really high earnings. You know, one of the highest zip codes in the area.
Okay.
Where, you know, that was in Northwest Raleigh, where most people would think all the money's down here inside the Beltline, and that may be true as far as long-term Raleigh money, but per capita income, that zip code was phenomenal, and those were the stats I was looking at. So I knew it was a good area, and I knew we had the potential to do something, but it just kind of a combination of hard work and being in the right place at the right time, and then finding and developing and keeping good people has really been the difference.
Let's talk about that, because you went from a situation where you're like, I don't ever want to have a lot of people again, and now you've got 130, and that's people are a tricky part of the puzzle, and it's a no easy task to figure out how to attract and keep great people. I mean, you have a growing business, so that's good, because that provides opportunities, and as you've grown, you give probably, you know, you have people have opportunities, but boy, that many people, particularly nowadays, is really hard. To find and keep good people. So, I mean, what's your secret sauce with that stuff, man?
I don't think I have any secret sauce, but we just try to treat people well and treat them like, you know, the golden rule, and treat people as we want to be treated. And I think that works.
What is your management style? Like, are you
pretty hands-on?
Okay.
Just everyone knows I'll do whatever it takes to succeed, and if that means washing dishes one day, I'll be washing dishes, and or making pizzas or bussing tables. I once had a young lady get all excited and say, "Ted, I just learned you were the owner. I thought you were the head busser."
Dude, that's a nice compliment, man.
I laughed for days. Yes,
I think that's great though, because you're obviously not asking anybody to do something that you haven't done yourself or won't still do yourself.
True,
which is a big part of getting people to buy in. I mean, hands on, but you're leading by example, and that's a big thing versus somebody that's just telling others what to do. And
definitely, I think that's been a big part of it. We also make all of our key people feel ownership by giving them a percentage of profits.
Okay, you do.
Yeah, on a monthly basis, so they know if we had a good month last month. They feel it in their paycheck, and that results in our people being some of the highest paid people doing their respective jobs
in
this area, in the industry, and We also give full benefits for all full-time people. We've done that for 16 years, which is still
a long time.
Unfortunately, rare in this industry. But, you know.
How many people do you have that are full-time?
Oh, gosh. Probably about 40 to 50. We have a lot of part-time people, obviously, in this industry.
Yeah, but that's a lot of people that you're providing. I mean, that's a big investment.
Yep.
But
and good people.
Yeah.
And I'm 100% convinced that our success is because of our people.
Yeah.
Some of it's the area, you know, that, again, good people want to come to work in a good atmosphere. And some of that's created by us and the people working. But then the people coming in the doors, you know, we're in such a great area that the people coming in the doors are enjoyable to interact with and talk with.
Right.
And a lot of our people have formed friendships and marriages and whatever else. And when I say our people, I mean our regular customers and our employees, both back and forth. It's kind of family, but that's the hard part about growing. As we've grown, it's got to be a little bit corporate and a little bit less family as far as having procedures and having systems and requiring that accountability, you know, that we have to, sometimes we have to let go of good people and that always hurts, but just to have consistency, we have to follow some rules.
What about, I mean, lately it's been, it seems like labor costs keep going up. It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it, you guys are seeing that too?
Absolutely. Both product and labor, more so in the past year than I've seen in my 30 plus year history of being in this industry. And that's, it kind of makes it almost a hard moving target to get our price. I think our end user price has always been a big part of our success too, is, you know, trying to offer a good value where we're not the lowest price, but we're not the highest priced, and people can afford to come back to us multiple times a week. And, you know, getting that price to where we can pay our people a competitive wage and still not overcharge, so to speak, is it's a tough formula right now. We've had two price increases this year, which is unprecedented. You know, usually it's one a year or one every other year, and it's not across the board. It's just products that have gone up, and, you know, gradually wages go up. So this past year has been kind of a hurricane, if you will.
Man, it's been an interesting time. Very curious what's going to happen, you know, in this economy over the next couple of years.
Sure.
I mean, who knows? Rates are going up, you know. I mean, rates, gosh, even mortgage rates are just, I mean, they're not even like at ridiculous levels. They're kind of where they were for a long time, but we got so accustomed to that. So it'd be interesting. But you guys are Raleigh's a great city. It's a growing
still growing
city.
Yep.
No matter what, people are coming here, and maybe even more will come because, you know, other bigger cities up in the, you know, Northeast are even, you know, harder to afford or whatever. But this is a attractive area for sure.
It sure is.
A lot of probably good to be in a university town. It's a very popular, you know, NC State is just extremely popular place for students, not just in the state, but all over now. So, so tell me about changing gears a little bit. Raising kids while owning a hospitality business.
Funny. I try to have good work-life balance, and I try to preach that with my people too. We don't want Herculean effort. We want people to be here long term and not overwork themselves, so to speak.
Right, burnout.
But right, and that's common in this industry, and it is pretty hard. You know, we are working a lot of nights and weekends when a lot of people are out of school or you know, normal jobs or whatever. And there's some advantages to working nights and weekends. You know, we don't hit the crowds at the grocery store. We don't hit the crowds at the gym.
Right.
And there is more flexibility in. So I've been fortunate enough to make most of my kids' games because I can pick and choose shifts, not just because I'm the owner, but because I don't have to be here every night or every weekend.
Right.
So yeah, there's pros and cons, and I know a lot of people in other industries who work more hours than I do. So it's, you know, it's a give and take and a balance. I think all jobs, all lives should have or be able to find their balance. And
yeah. You got them over here washing dishes yet?
Yeah, actually they had their first shifts this holiday season at Linwood Grill. They bused tables, one of them washed dishes, and really enjoyed it. He was disappointed when the regular dishwasher came in for his shift. And he wanted to continue doing that. I said, thanks, buddy, but we've got this. Can use you back on the floor bussing tables. And they really enjoyed it, and they planned out how much they made that day and that weekend and over the course of the couple weeks that they did work over the holiday, how many hours they needed to work in order to buy the next level mountain bike that they wanted to buy.
Oh, nice. So, oh, they're into mountain biking?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah,
very
good.
Much so.
Okay. I've probably seen them in some of those videos. Bobby sent me this. Boys are out right there. They're getting after it.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Definitely. Are there a lot of good trails around here?
There's a pretty good number, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, they like trying new trails, so they like to travel a little bit with it.
And, right.
They were up in the mountains a month or so ago and entered a competition, their first downhill mountain biking competition.
Oh, downhill, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
A bit like Beach Mountain or something, or Sugar?
Sugar, yeah. Yep. And one of Sanders actually, I think, talked them into it or whatever. Well, actually, only one of mine did it, and he ended up winning first place for his age division in the amateur side.
Nice.
It was pretty funny because there were other kids there wearing, you know, full Fox gear and all the stuff, and he just showed up in his Adidas sweatpants and went out and did it. And
I love that.
Wasn't expected to place, and there he was on the podium.
Had he done the downhill stuff before?
No. Well, he had been to Sugar Mountain several times.
Yeah.
Previous, just practicing, but that was his first real race.
That's I did that for I do a decent amount of mountain biking, but it's always like on single track around, you know, Charlotte and whatever. And I was in Grand Targhee out in Wyoming this summer with my daughter, and we decided, we're like, yeah, let's do some downhill biking. Throw your bike on the back of that chairlift and go up there, and it's like, this is very different because you're basically like just trying to keep from falling like the whole way down, and like it was intimidating. It was a lot of fun though. I bet that's a ton of fun to do those races.
They seem to have fun. It scares the you know what out of me.
I bet.
I think
14-year-old boys.
I think I, like every other dad I know in whose kids are into it, have fallen.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
I scraped my knee just a few days ago, actually, on a trail, thinking that I could follow them for a little bit.
Right.
And, then I was going to the Greenway to ride on hard pavement, but my 10-minute foray into the forest on the trail did not end well. And I hit some roots and tried to avoid
a tree.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. what's changed about your business over the last couple of years due to COVID?
Oh, gosh.
What were some of the big things y'all had to do to adjust and adapt?
Well, just following all the government regulations.
Yeah.
You know, the 6-foot spacing and the reduced capacity when we had that. You know, I think it's funny being in the food and beverage industry. We were always pretty on point with sanitation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny to me to hear everyone learning what we've all learned over the years about sanitation and washing your hands and all that. You know, to me, it's ABCs.
Right.
To some people, it was new knowledge.
And, yeah.
I think the hardest part was just not knowing and having to adjust on the fly. You know, the governor would give us sometimes 2 hours notice, sometimes 72 hours notice that starting whatever day our hours were going to be restricted or our capacity was going to be restricted. So, for example, here we moved half of the chairs and tables into our event space, which was not in use in 2020. And we had to, in order to limit capacity once we were allowed to reopen, we had to put yellow tape up at several of our entrances and start having a host to greet people going into the beer garden. When we got to 50% capacity, we couldn't allow any more people. We had to, you know, funnel people to one entrance instead of five entrances, mm-hmm. and then have you know, a manager or myself working with, we had to order radios with microphones and walkie-talkies, you know, to communicate and seat people once tables opened up, because we had to control the crowd, or we might have someone driving by seeing us over capacity and reporting us, and you know, all of that. I would hope that people could be adults and police themselves, but that's not the case. So that was a challenge. From once things moved on, the new challenges again with staffing. You know, in years past, we could say if somebody's calling in sick, you need a doctor's note. And now, you know, it's just people can call in sick without any repercussion, and we can't question it. We can't, or we look bad. We look like we're encouraging somebody to work when they're sick, which we would never do. But you know,
there was a fine line of people that would just take advantage of that for any reason whatsoever.
Especially 19-year-olds who, you know, are going to a concert that they forgot to ask off for.
And, right.
You know, in years past, we would say, oh no, you. We saw your message on Schedule Fly that you wanted the shift off to go to a concert, and now you're calling in sick. We're not quite buying that. Now it's, okay, you're quote-unquote sick. Magically recovered tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, that was an interesting time. Took a lot of patience for y'all, and my goodness, the restaurants just got, I mean, just the amount of ongoing changes you're having to deal with. Well, coming out of it, business is good. You guys are
yes. I think 2022 numbers are real similar to 2019. 2021 was pretty close.
Good, congrats.
So, thanks.
Have you had people? I mean, I would imagine you have in all these years that have come in here that have been under your tutelage, that have been, you know, really good at what they do, that have come and said, hey, it's been great here and I love it, but I've got my own thing. I'm going to go start my own restaurant or my own brewery. Or
I've had several people aspire to that and not end up doing it. And then I've had people who moved on and eventually are, I know several in the process now of opening something.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot, you know, it just seems like a lot of people that open are people that had been somewhere and were inspired by somebody like you and learned a lot and then wanted to take that all on their own. And there's just, God, there's places opening, especially in a place like Raleigh. There's places opening all the time.
Definitely.
And this seems like, these guys over here at the cider place were telling me about all the development that's going on here. That'll be good for y'all for sure.
Definitely. And across Atlantic Avenue.
And then what was that called?
Ironworks.
Ironworks. What is it?
Ironworks is, so that was a steel manufacturing plant years ago, and I think it was in existence for 30 or 40 years, and they produced Peden Steel. Peden family produced a lot of the steel beams that built a lot of the buildings in Raleigh, and you can still see the stamps on some of those beams. And then for the, I don't know, 10 or 20 years, it's been a variety of things, and now they're turning it into a big mixed-use project. And it's the same landlord as this building, so one day, supposedly, knock on wood, it happens next year, there's going to be a parking deck. Well, the parking deck's built, and then next year there will be a footbridge over Atlantic connecting our two buildings.
Okay, I was going to ask how that's... Okay, gotcha.
I think they've got 200-something apartments planned, and office and retail, and very, very exciting project, very big project. We went to a pre-opening party last week there, where we got to slide down the adult slide, leaving the second story of the building, and lots of neat things, including a rock climbing, triangle rock climbing gym is going in there.
Oh, wow.
Some type of Jaguar Bolero is a bowling alley type entertainment place. some other food and beverage, including Ponysaurus Brewing from Durham.
They're a customer. Tap room. Oh, yeah. Good folks.
And I'm not sure, a couple restaurants.
Okay.
But the apartments and the office, obviously, are the exciting things to us.
Sure.
And it's just going to turn this whole area into a kind of an entertainment district.
I was going to say, even the other restaurant, it's just, you know, rising tide lifts
absolutely.
All. Like, there's just absolutely. More and more people will just be around this area.
Absolutely.
Okay. That's great, man. As you said, knock on wood, about the parking. Is parking... I mean, you guys got a pretty good amount of parking out here, don't you?
We do. It can be a challenge. Certain days or nights, and you never know. It's funny, and luckily, weekends is when most people will take an Uber or Lyft here, or ride a scooter, or whatever they do nowadays. Or a lot of people, luckily, can walk here. But but it's not typically a problem on the weekends. It can be, it's definitely got some challenges and limitations.
What's your? I'm looking up at your board there. What are some of your favorite beers?
I'm a hophead.
Okay.
So I like all the IPAs and
yeah.
A couple weeks ago was probably the best time to be alive. It was we had, I think, 7 different hoppy beers on tap, including some hazy IPAs and double hazy IPA and our regular double IPA and our So right now we're down to, I think, 3 or 4. But still.
Is that just seasonal?
Well, some of them are. The Hop on Top is our mainstay, and that's our best seller as a West Coast style IPA.
Okay.
And then Mosaic Pale Ale is a hop forward pale ale, kind of like a Sierra Nevada. But using Mosaic hops, and we have those two all the time. And then we have a black IPA that's a year round as well. That's actually won us the most awards, and it's not a big seller, but we keep it on because it's a great beer.
Yeah. Okay. Do you change your? I mean, you obviously would change this chalkboard, but like, are all these on your website too, or do you have?
Unfortunately, right now we don't keep the website up to date. We just kind of list out what our year-round beers are. We have 10, 11 year rounds, and then list out some of the seasonals, because some of the seasonals will come and go. He's constantly doing a different flavored fruited wheat.
Okay.
Apricot or peach or different fruits.
Yeah.
And those might last 2 or 3 weeks, and then he's on to trying a different one.
Okay.
Blood orange, tangerine, whatever. Same with the hops. He experiments with a lot of different hoppy beers. So we've got one beer that is sold out right now. It's called an update, and every few weeks he'll do a new version of it. So I think we're up to update 4.0 right now, is getting ready to come out.
Okay. Gotcha. So have you heard of a company called Pop Menu?
I have.
Yeah. We got a lot of customers that use them for, like, they make it really easy to edit your, like, change your, like, all that good, and they have good, like, good SEO and stuff like that, but they may be worth checking out. Good company, good folks.
Huh.
I was just curious about that, because it just seems like y'all, I mean, you just got a lot of different types of beers. I love it.
Right.
I gotta try one before I go.
And they do change so often, out of 22 beers on tap, half of them are here all the time, and the other half are rotators or seasonals or one-offs that once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And that keeps things fun and interesting, both for the brewers to be artistic and for our customers to try new things that, luckily, knock on wood, they're all very good. So that's one of our biggest complaints, is why don't you have XYZ beer year-round?
Right.
If that were true, we'd have to have 100 beers on tap year-round, and we just can't do that.
Yeah. Well, you've got your boys in the right scene. There's a lot of ties with mountain biking and drinking good beer.
Yes,
that's for sure.
Yes, I think it was, I can't remember the brewery now. It was a Georgia brewery that sponsored the race that.
Oh, really?
Charlie won. Yeah, I think it was Terrapin, maybe, but it's pretty funny to. He got some gloves as one of his prize.
Terrapin out of Athens.
Yes.
Which is where, that's where those guys worked. At the cidery.
Oh, like, really? Okay.
Yeah. They came from Athens, and they worked at Terrapin, like, early days.
Okay.
And I didn't even know Terrapin Wheel Well. They were just talking about that, but how about that? Yeah, that's interesting.
I just went to Athens for the first time a few months ago and stopped by Creature Comforts. It was a really good brewery.
Creature Comforts?
Yep.
So your boys are 14, so they're in what, like ninth grade?
Just started ninth grade this year.
So you're not quite on the college tip yet, but you'll be getting there before you know it.
Don't rush it.
Yeah, no kid. Well, my daughter's a freshman at Penn State, and it happened like that. Yeah. And then I've got a 15-year-old son and a 13-year-old son, and so we're trying to, like, slow down time with them. Like,
right.
Dude, it particularly COVID, too, because it was like the whole homeschool Zoom stuff, and you feel like you just missed these years. And next thing you know, it's like, holy crap, she's graduating.
Right.
But, yeah, that was we just got back from doing that. But yeah, enjoy those years, man. It's a good thing you've got the good balance, and congrats on that. Congrats on instilling that and fostering that here in your business so that your folks, I mean, it's a big, big part of why people stick around.
Sure.
They know that somebody cares about them. They know that somebody's willing to do the things that, you know, it's not a do this and ordering people around. It's like, I'm doing it too, and we're all in this together and trying to genuinely give, you know, people concern or your care. They know that. They get it. People see it a mile away. And, you know, well done, because that's why they stick around. And it's a hard thing to do.
I can't say I'm good at that, but we try.
We
keep trying to figure out how to get better and
yeah,
keep our people happy and keep them around. And we learn. You know, we make mistakes along the way, and we learn from them. And we lose some good people occasionally for maybe thinking greener pastures, or maybe we
didn't
treat them as well as they thought they should have. But overall, I think trying is half the battle.
Well, you also clearly don't have a lot of people, the challenge sometimes with business owners and people that run businesses is ego can get in the way. You know, if you feel like you can't do wrong, then that can be a big problem. And, you know, you're willing to say, hey, own things and learn and iterate and get better, and that's a big part of the right mentality, man, especially when you got that many people. I mean, you just kind of have to, I guess. But Ted, you built a cool business, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time to talk to you and learn your story. Appreciate your business. Thank you for being a customer, and we appreciate you. But this has been fun, man.
Awesome. I've enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
Even though I don't have a radio voice or a TV face.
No, man. Well, we just we'll put this up soon. I'd like to get I've got a camera here. I don't have an iPhone. So I have to carry I have a flip phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I do carry this around so I can get good pictures, but I want somebody to get a picture of us.
Okay.
And I'll put it up on Instagram, and then I have this thing up in the next day or two, and then I'm going to I got to at least have one of your beers before I roll. I'm meeting Bobby over at Standard Foods in a little while.
But awesome.
But yeah, let's do that. Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. That's a wrap, y'all.